human infrastructure bill, and as a result, they're willing to deep six the real human or the real infrastructure vote in order to get what they want, the $3.5 trillion, which really is probably $5 trillion. And they say they're going to have a vote on that first infrastructure bill, the real infrastructure bill, and they're going to have it tonight. I have my doubts about that. There have been meetings. The White House has been up on Capitol Hill all day long, and they're trying to twist some arms. But the progressives are saying no way. Joe Manchin, believe it or not, is saying he would accept a $1.5 trillion human infrastructure bill, but that's a long way from the $3.5 trillion and the $6 trillion, which is where they started. This is getting more and more bizarre. We're going to be here all along the way to guide you through this, so don't worry. If you're away from your laptop or whatever, it's okay. Stick where you're, right where you are, because Michael Shouse will help us break it down. Communications Director for NPRI. We'll do that and more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
We can count on a union with a legacy known for hard work and getting things done. We're the ones who built this city with pride. Our members are our family, and their well-being is our number one priority. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
Get the stories and scores that matter to you on the KMZQ Sports Flash, powered by Pro Insurance Solutions, where you can save up to 50% on your health insurance premiums. The KMZQ Sports Flash on AM 670.
You can listen to your radio again on the weekend. On Sunday, you can enjoy The Jesus Christ Show, Gun Talk, Frontlines of Freedom, and Hillary Kramer's Millionaire Maker. AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. AM 670 KMZQ. Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The House on Thursday passed legislation to prevent a government shutdown with only hours to spare before the midnight deadline, albeit without any measure to avert a debt default in a few weeks.
Lawmakers voted 254 to 175 to send the bill, which keeps the federal government funded through December 3rd, to President Biden for his signature. 34 Republicans voted with all Democrats in support of the bill. The House last week passed the same bill along party lines, but with a provision that suspended the debt limit until mid-December of next year. The Senate failed to advance the original House-passed bill on Monday due to Republicans' insistence that they will not vote to prevent a debt default, which Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has said could happen after October 18th if Congress doesn't act in time. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Nearly three dozen Republican senators are opposed to marriage tax penalties in the Democrats' massive government overhaul.
Utah's Mitt Romney and 32 of his GOP Senate colleagues have signed a letter arguing against harmful penalties for married couples in the $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill that's being pushed by Democrats and the White House. The Republican senators say the bill makes existing tax penalties worse. They tell the Senate Majority Leader that discouraging marriage is not in our country's best interest and sends the wrong message to our families. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The number of military suicides jumped by 15% in 2020, fueled by significant increases in the Army and Marine Corps that senior leaders said were troubling and require more effort to prevent. Data released by the Pentagon showed there were 580 suicides last year compared to 504 the previous year. Of those, the number of suicides by Army National Guard troops jumped by about 35%, and the active Army duty saw a nearly 20% rise. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 546 points. More at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Both were prosecutors in the Clark County District Attorney's Office, each with 25 years of experience. One was chief of the Special Victims Unit, the other chief of the Homicide Unit. Both dedicated, both respected. Together, they are Craig Hendricks and Frank Como, the Vegas Dream Team for criminal defense you need in your corner. Call 702-222-9999 or visit VegasDreamTeam.com, a division of DeCastro Verde Law Group.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart, but our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve.
Check it out.
I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
So good to have you with us. Joining us now, Michael Jouse, communications, former communications director for NPRI. He joins us. Michael, how you been, my friend?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, been pretty good. It's been busy. It's been kind of a crazy time doing my own thing now, but yeah, very exciting.
Talk a little bit about what's going on in our nation's capital, because this is going to be interesting to see how this thing all plays out. They say there's going to be a vote tonight on the original infrastructure bill. Explain what that means.
One thing that we know is Democrats are the ones who are really, really split on this. I mean, you've had some of the moderates say, okay, wait a second, we don't like the way that this has been put forward. You've had the more progressive wing, of course, trying to push all of their pet projects through it. And so at this point, I don't really believe anything that they say, because we have repeatedly heard from leadership, oh, we're going to have a vote, and then some of their members stand back and say, wait a second, we're going to do what now? So we'll see it. I'll believe it when it actually happens. That being said, you know, Republicans need to remember that they are in the minority and, generally speaking, not as good at sticking together as Democrats. So we'll see how many trillions of dollars we end up spending in the next couple of months.
Well, and we just agreed to a continuing resolution, which will keep the government open through the 1st of December. And I guess my question is that a good thing or a bad thing for America?
Well, you know, the libertarian in me wants to say that it's a horrible thing. Here's the problem, though. Every time that the government shuts down, it's not like when you or I shut down a business. It's not like all of a sudden they're saving a ton of money. In fact, it actually costs than more money, because all the people that they furlough from, say, the National Park Service or something, gets back pay as soon as the government opens back up. So shutting the government down doesn't really save any money. All it does is defer the costs, and the costs are going to be larger. So that being said, yay, hooray, so excited that they kept the government open. But the reason for the worry is really what we should be addressing. Our debt is going through the roof at a pace never before seen. We're printing money. It's a cliche to say that we're printing money like Monopoly money, but the truth is we're not, because it's probably more expensive to print Monopoly money than it is what we're doing right now. They're just printing it like it has absolutely no value, and that's going to come back to haunt us in a really, really, really big way.
I always joke that it's like talking about the Federal Reserve. When you start talking about it, people's eyes glaze over and all of that, and you start talking about the Fed, and you're talking about this and that. You talk in this case about raising the debt ceiling, and I think 99.9% of Americans have no clue what we're talking about at all.
Yeah, and here's a very easy way to put it. Let's pretend that you are working on your, household budget, and you look at your credit cards and, oh, I'll be darned, your credit cards are almost maxed out. Rather than adjusting your spending, if you could just go to the bank and say, hey, give me a larger credit limit, and they did, that's basically what the government's doing right now. They're not trying to keep their spending, they're not trying to lower it, they're not trying to keep it under control, they're not trying to manage their debt. They're literally just saying, hey, let the debt get even larger, so that way we can keep on spending ever larger amounts of money. And the reason why that's bad for folks like you and I, because I know we all like to imagine that it's just imaginary money that the federal government spends, but that does lead to inflation. And inflation matters because it's a very silent tax. If you feel like you're kind of stretched thin right now, just wait until everyday items like groceries climb up even more than they already have in the last year.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays. The fact is that the government's going to remain open through December 1st. You think we'll still have a crisis on December 1st?
Oh, I'm sure we probably will. It's a rolling crisis always with this group. it's never something that's like, oh, it's a crisis. Yay, we got through it, and now we don't have to worry about it. They're going to be worrying about it again in December. The real question is going to be, what happens between now and then as far as the spending priorities of Democrats, since Republicans won't be able to say, hey, we are going to completely shut down or try to shut down the government if you don't at least pretend that we kind of matter. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens between now and December. But, yeah, we'll go through this whole same dance again in December, and we'll do it again probably in an even more dramatic fashion before the elections. And following the elections, we'll be doing it again, because I don't see anything in the world that is going to stop the current group of lawmakers in D.C. That's going to stop them from spending the way that they want to spend.
Again, Michael Shouse joining us, the former communications director for NPRI. I'm curious, the Republicans in Congress said they weren't going to lift a finger to help the Democrats through this crisis, and true to their word, they didn't. My question is there any political fallout negative for the Republicans when they have to go home and said that they were willing to let the government close down, blah, 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 blah. Is there any downside to that politically for the Republicans?
Well, I mean, it's a little bit of a risk, and I think that, Republicans probably know that, and they probably have kind of calculated that, because, of course, their Democrat opponents are going to say, hey, look, so-and-so was really willing to close down the government just to make a political point. But on the other hand, it was kind of shrewd politics, because now every single Democrat has to go back to their districts and say, yeah, I voted to spend even more money despite the fact that we're already spending record amounts and up the debt ceiling. So it was definitely a political risk to Republicans, but it was probably worth it to put every Democrat on record saying, yeah, I'm going to raise the debt ceiling because I want to continue to spend the way that we have been.
The House of Representatives say that they're going to have a vote. sometime tonight. It's already after 7 o'clock at night in our nation's capital. And they say they're going to stay open and they're going to have a vote, but they don't have the votes. Does Nancy Pelosi run the risk of becoming Mrs. Irrelevant in all of this, with the progressives saying, nah, hey, our 50 votes against this bill, against the regular infrastructure bill, that they're not budging?
Well, I mean, you know, this is the thing that the mainstream media consistently forgets to report on. When you're talking about the Democrats and their infighting right now, that's the only thing that's holding up the vote. That's the only thing that's going to hold up the entire process. We know that Republicans are against it. Okay, that's fine. But there is Democrat infighting that is making it impossible for Democrats to do what they want to do right now. And that's something that's kind of gone underreported. And it reminds me of back in the days of Obamacare. You know, the bipartisan effort during Obamacare was to stop Obamacare from becoming law. And nobody reported it that way. They all talked about the obstructionist Republicans, and you're probably going to see more of that, especially if Nancy Pelosi does not end up getting the votes together, and that kind of backfires on Democrats. You know that there will be folks in the media willing to run to her rescue and say, oh, this is all the fault of those darn Republicans who are playing political games with the debt ceiling.
My question is, do the Democrats know, does Nancy Pelosi know that she's probably going to lose the gavel in the midterm elections? She said today, this is the culmination of my political career. And people said, are you saying you're not running for re-election? What's the deal? She tap danced around that. Do you get a sense she sees the light at the end of the tunnel?
Even if it's not, you know, this is her last go around. I mean, she might, who knows when things get a little bit closer. But I do think she knows that the Democrat Party has changed, and she knows that she's not going to be able to keep up with it. George Will recently was talking to, I think, Nick Gillespie, and made a great point. He said that people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are fundamentally changing the Democrat Party the same way that Barry Goldwater changed the Republican Party way back when. They are changing the DNA of the activists in the Democrat Party. And as a result, folks like Nancy Pelosi have really been struggling to keep up with that change and keep up with progressive politics. So she probably does, to some degree, realize, look, I'm not going to be able to keep on doing this. I'm not going to be able to get things done and appease the ever more progressive base of the Democrat Party. You kind of have to pick one. And I think that there are probably a lot of Democrats, both moderates and what we used to call far-left progressives, who are thinking exactly that.
Joe Manchin, Kristen Sinema in the Senate are holding things up. They say that it's too expensive. We're talking about the $3.5 trillion bill. Too expensive, too much government, and that now is not the time to be doing this. They cite inflation as one of the reasons why they are willing to vote no and take on their party. Will there be repercussions, you think, to those two members?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, I was actually talking to a pollster just earlier today, and it seems like, you know, both of them have a pretty good beat on their voters, on their constituents. Their constituents, even though they might lean Democrat, are relatively fiscally conservative, at least to the extent that they look at the trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars that we're talking about spending right now, which, of course, Joe Biden says won't cost us any money. And they say, well, wait a second, this is too much. You know, a lot of their constituents, even the Democrat constituents for those folks, you know, they might like the idea of government assistance programs. They might like a bigger government than you or I would, but they still believe that there's place for fiscal restraint in modern politics. And I think that they probably face a lot more risk if they went along with the Democrat Party at this point than if they stood up to it, because folks are looking for more moderate votes from those folks.
It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. I've got to ask you, because it's been a while since we talked, the race for governor here in the state of Nevada, and the fact that we now have 8 candidates, and they are, you know, they're all really good people. Some tough choices for Republican voters coming up in June. I guess my question is this a good thing or a bad thing for the Republican Party to be battling, you know, among 8 candidates? That's a lot of bloodletting. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the idea of having a deep bench before you actually get into a primary. So, you know, if we were talking 3-4 months ago, saying, hey, look at all these people that are interested in running. Oh, that's great. That sounds fantastic. Very excited because here's a bunch of, you know, talented folks who might be able to make a difference. But when you actually get into the race and you've got 8 folks who we know are going to be, you know, having to go at each other, yeah, that does put Sisolak in kind of a good position, especially because Sisolak's poll numbers aren't terribly low right now. So they are going to have, whoever wins the primary is going to have a heck of a messaging challenge ahead of them, trying to point out to folks everything that is wrong with Sisolak while at the same time trying to deflect whatever was said about them in the primary. So it's going to be rough, and it's going to be tough, and I do wish that Republicans were a little bit better at coordinating prior to the primary to really see what the lay of the land is and work among themselves to pick out a few key people. But I understand why so many people jumped in the race, and it's at the very least going to be interesting. At least we've got a diversity on our side, which might be good, and that in and of itself might help some folks start paying attention, at the very least.
Michael, how do you explain the positive poll numbers for Sisolak?
You know, I think the biggest thing, and this is where the messaging challenge really is going to be for folks, the biggest thing is people don't blame Sisolak for the economy right now. They don't blame Sisolak for any of the challenges that we're facing right now. They blame COVID. They somehow have separated those two things in their mind, and it's going to take somebody consistently reminding them, look, COVID, some virus did not tell you that you are a non-essential employee. It was the governor of the state that said it is illegal for you to work for months on end. And really driving home that message is going to hopefully change people's perception of it a little bit, because right now they just don't see his hands as being all that dirty.
Wow. Michael, always good to visit with you. Thank you, my friend. It's always good. We'll talk again soon. And continued success with whatever lies ahead for you and your work history. We'll talk with you again very, very soon.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, man. That's Michael Shouse, former communications director for NPRI. Joe Manchin met with the media just a couple of hours ago, and I want you to hear just a little bit of that to give you a flavor of where he is right now.
In leadership, you take the wins when you can receive them. You bring people together the best you can, and you move forward. That's all. And we're there now. We can move forward. Hopefully we can, anyway.
Do you have a timeline on a deal? Do you have a latest date that you'd like to get this done?
I know it's time to go. I know that. Hold on. I'm already lucky.
You can talk to Joe Biden.
Sorry, Senator. You
think the president needs to come up here, sir?
I understand how convoluted the tax code is. The tax code. That's what it's going to take some time. But we'll deal in good faith. I'm trying to be as honest and upfront as I possibly can.
Do you have a latest date that you'd like to get this done?
We talked about that.
What did he say?
He really is sincere. He would like to have a lot more than that. And I said, Mr. President, I understand that. It's just, you know, hopefully you can respect. He's always been so respectful. He said, hey, Joe, I'll never ask you to go against your convictions. He says, I think we want a lot of the same things. We want to help children. We want to help seniors. We want to help those in the bottom totem pole. We want the rich to pay their fair share. Do the tax reform. I'm all for it. We want to basically fix our drug prices to where our Medicare, we should be able to. I've been very passionate about that.
But if this tanks
it, it's not going to tank. It does not tank.
There you have it. Joe Manchin, earlier today on Capitol Hill, the West Virginia senator is holding his ground. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Blend of breaking news, interesting views, and informative interviews. The Jim Bohannon Show, weeknights from 7 to 10 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Psychery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Psychery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasPsychery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
This is your Money Minute. I'm Steve Siddall. Chocolate or vanilla, Coke or Pepsi, we Americans love our choices. Retirement is no different, and it's clear that our tax choices in building our retirement plans are the most important. We have two choices, basically, the 401k and the IRA. And while Americans have gotten addicted to kicking the can down the road by paying taxes later, now is the best time since the Reagan years to pay taxes. Here to explain why is America's wealth coach and best-selling author, Coach Pete DeRuta. Coach, help us understand.
No one likes paying taxes, Steve.
Nobody does.
But if you can pay taxes on your terms, that's more important than going down the road and paying on someone else's terms. What do I mean by that? Well, right now, capital gains taxes are historically very low. So if you have a gain in the market, what I always tell people, you are not up until you're out. So it's great to have the gain. I've talked to way too many people, though, in the past that say, Coach, I've got this big gain. I don't want to liquidate it because I'll have to pay capital gains taxes on it. But I say I'd rather have a tax on a gain than a write-off on a loss, Steve, and then that starts to resonate. So here's another part. Part B is we're in very low tax environments. So not only can you lock your gains in, but you can pay a lot less taxes than you might be paying in the future. We have a government debt that is skyrocketing, and the government's looking at all the investment accounts, nice, juicy investment accounts, and looking at all the taxes they can make if they raise capital gains taxes. So long-term capital gains, if you have the investment for over a year, if you have a good gain, let's review that and make sure you have the proper allocation strategy. So let's make sure we put that together and understand fully the Roth IRA as well. The next 10 people call, I'll fully educate you on that, as well as give you a three-book set and an audiobook when you call right now.
Sounds great, Coach. Call 888-702-6932 or text VEGAS to 600-700. That's right. Just text the word VEGAS to 600-700.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Financial Advisory Group, a Nevada registered financial advisor.
Hello, I'm Fred Simon, candidate for Nevada governor. You and I both know that there is something seriously wrong with the way Nevada has been managed. Mr. Sisolak closed our businesses, our schools, our places of worship, and even silenced objecting voices. And now, as more facts come out, it looks like much of the economic and emotional damage promoted by our current governor was unnecessary. So can you really trust Mr. Sisolak to protect your gun rights? Remember, this is a guy who made your COVID suffering worse. I don't think he cares about your right to own and bear arms. I'm Fred Simon, a working MD. A medical doctor living in Douglas County. I will end the extreme and irresponsible policies enforced by reckless politicians. Learn more anytime and please join us at simonforgovnv.com. Simonforgovnv.com. Thank you.
Paid for by Simon for Nevada.
Newsmakers, newsbreakers, and everything in between. Live and local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
We are continuing to follow the story in our nation's capital. What's going to happen with this $1.2 trillion real infrastructure bill, which, by the way, I support. I don't know what's in it necessarily, but I think most people that have seen it say it's roads, it's bridges, it's broadband, it's all good stuff. And if you're going to spend money, you might as well spend it on good stuff rather than bad stuff or bad policy. But Nancy Pelosi, at her news conference this morning, and I found this interesting. In fact, let's go to cut five. Nancy Pelosi predicted that both the $1.2 trillion and the $3.5 trillion, which many believe is probably going to end up being $5 trillion, that both these bills will pass and will pass this week. Time is running out, as the song says. This was Nancy Pelosi just a few hours ago, her weekly news conference in our nation's capital. Here it is.
I just told members of my leadership that the reconciliation bill was a culmination of my service in Congress, because it was about the children. their health. It's about health, their education, the economic security of their families, a clean, safe environment in which they could thrive, and I guess a world at peace in which they could succeed. This is more about their domestic poor parts of that. So remove all doubt in anyone's mind that we will not have a reconciliation. We will have a reconciliation bill. That is for sure. Today the question is about, we are proceeding in a very positive way to bring up the bill of the BIF, to do so in a way that can win. And so far, so good for today. It's going in a positive direction. It's impossible.